steps into it, pass is caught, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable, Vikings win it!
Hello, hello, let's go. It's your man Flip at Flip Mozzie. Thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. Hope everybody had a good holiday weekend. We're back in a weird phase of the NFL offseason. It's the gap between free agency and the NFL draft. The March owners meeting just happened in Orlando, so trade rumors and rule changes are swirling about, mainly because we don't have much else to talk about right now. But not me, I got plenty to talk about. Most have turned their attention to the draft. Potential rookies are putting their best foot forward during their pro days. NFL scouts zipping all over the country to see college players that they're interested in practice. I'm not there yet, y'all. Still got to focus on R53. A bit has happened over the last 2 weeks, so let's get caught up on it. First, the Vikings took a break from their splash signings and announced a long string of relatively boring roster moves. Kicker Kai Forbath got a 2% raise. He's coming back to make $790,000 in 2018. It's pretty boring. Kirk Cousins' drummer, offensive lineman Tom Compton, should provide depth. And everybody's favorite cockroach, special teams ace Marcus Sherrills, will return to Minnesota. Then, on Good Friday, Rick Spielman puts the Bible down and inks wide receiver Kendall Wright. Wright is a sneaky good pass catcher who thrives in the slot. I think he's a great fit for the offense. He'll allow John DeFilippo to move Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs to wherever he pleases in three wide receiver sets. I'm not going to lie, I was missing Jarius, but Kendall is the same age with far better career production. We'll see what the contract details are, but this could be a masterclass move by Spielman. Wright can operate in the slot where he caught 67% of his passes for Chicago last year, or Laquon Treadwell can come in on the outside. This isn't necessarily game over for Treadwell. The opportunity for a clearly defined role is still there, and he still has 2 years left on his affordable rookie contract. Maybe he's trade bait, but otherwise it's going to be fun to watch this dynamic receiving core. Meanwhile, former Vikings Shamar Stephen, Tom Johnson, Joe Berger, Jeremiah Searles, and Emmanuel Lammer have all moved on from the team, so pour one out for them. No real hot takes on these roster moves. The losses are only surprising to me in their magnitude. Honestly, didn't think there'd be so much turnover this year. Searles, Stephen, and Jarius Wright were all mild surprises for me. Thought the Vikings would make more of an effort to keep the strong roster depth that they had last year. But they chose not to, so be it. It goes to show that the NFL is all about fit, so that's where the Vikings aren't done. In the draft or free agency, they've got to find a way to fill out the roster as their player salaries become more top-heavy. So that's what we're going to do today, guys. We're going to work out how the Vikings should build now that they're undoubtedly a contender. Starts with quarterback. Minnesota's paying one now. Big bucks. They spent $22 million at the position last year and will pay Kirk Cousins, Trevor Siemian, and Kyle Slaughter $26 million combined in 2018. That's a lot. It means less to spend elsewhere, but that's okay. I believe there's two ways to build in the NFL today. The first is to maximize value at the quarterback position and maximize talent elsewhere on the roster. This is a category for the teams that draft young, good, cheap quarterbacks. They can afford to offer big paydays in free agency because their quarterback is so cheap, and they have to assemble a great team before that quarterback is up for an extension. Philadelphia, the Rams, and the Chiefs are doing this now. If you want proof, just look at all the main non-quarterback signings in free agency this year. Ndamukong Suh went to the Rams, Sammy Watkins to the Chiefs, Trumaine Johnson to the Jets, Allen Robinson to the Bears, Malcolm Butler to the Titans, all going to teams with quarterbacks that are on their rookie contracts. It's a great strategy. It produced two Super Bowl winners in the last 5 years. But there's one caveat. Look at teams like Miami with Ryan Tannehill and especially the Oakland Raiders. Oakland didn't maximize Derek Carr's quote-unquote cheap window at all. They went 3-13 in year one, 7-9 in year two. Then, when they finally hit their stride by going 12-4 in 2016, they stupidly chose to extend Carr a year early. Window closed. Now they're forced to use the second method, maximizing talent at the quarterback position and maximizing value elsewhere on the roster. That's the approach the Vikings should use going forward, and the NFL draft is extremely important for this plan. As an aside, this is why the guy that everyone is talking about, Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham, makes no sense in Minnesota. It's not New York's asking price of two first-round picks, it's the salary attached to it. The Vikings shouldn't be spending that much money for any wide receiver. No team with a highly paid quarterback should. And yeah, that asking price is too high. Let me put it this way. What if instead of signing Kirk Cousins in free agency, you had to trade for him, giving up a first-round pick, and still signing him to the exact same contract that averages $28 million per year? Would you do it? Heck, I've been a big fan of the Cousins signing, and I wouldn't even do that. So if we aren't willing to give up a first-rounder and $28 million for an above-average athlete at the game's most important position, is it worth it to give up two firsts and $19 million for an elite wide receiver? Hell no. That's a double dip. It restricts your ability to build through the draft and in free agency. That's why I think Odell will go to a team like the 49ers, Titans, or Texans. Meanwhile, our Vikings will hold on dearly to our draft picks and maintain contention by hitting on rookies. So it all comes back to the draft. Using roster strategy number two, an expensive, talented quarterback, and a roster full of valuable homegrown talent, how good do your drafts have to be? Are there teams who have succeeded doing this in the past? That's what we're here to answer, guys. I did a deep data dive. I'll make everything available in the notes and links attached to this podcast. First, we gotta quantify what a good draft pick is. Using Pro Football Reference's approximate value, I settled on an AV of 5 per year in the NFL. That bar is what a solid player achieved. To give some recent Vikings examples, linebacker Ben Gideon, defensive end Danielle Hunter, and receiver Stephon Diggs all hit that mark. Note how guys like cornerbacks Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes don't make the cut. Then, I specifically looked for teams with highly paid but not elite quarterbacks. I analyze how they drafted and ranked them. We'll go through in order from worst to best. The first and worst team that fits the profile is, I'll give you 1 second to guess. I hope you got it. It's the Baltimore Ravens. This shouldn't be any surprise, fam. Since winning the Super Bowl and giving Joe Flacco $25 million in 2013, the Ravens have been the 16th best team in football. They have one playoff appearance in the last 5 years, and while it could be worse, the rest of the roster is fraught with issues. It's not because of Flacco's contract. They've made several great free agent signings, including Eugene Monroe and Eric Weddle. But Baltimore has drafted terribly. CJ Mosley and Ronnie Staley are the only great picks from the last 5 years. They've got a bunch of first-round misses like Rashad Perriman and Matt Elam. Overall, the Ravens have drafted just 3 good players since they started playing Joe Flacco. That's not good enough. But wait, there's another team that has done even worse. The New York Giants are 23rd in wins after their Super Bowl win in 2011. Eli Manning's routinely paid like a top 10 quarterback, even though rate stats, like his 60% completion percentage and 7.0 yards per attempt, suggest he isn't that great. The Giants have drafted relatively well with Evan Ingram, Landon Collins, and Odell Beckham, but it hasn't been enough. They hit on 8 picks over the last 6 years. Going forward, you have to be a bit worried, as good draft picks such as Justin Pugh, Bresson Richburg, and maybe even Odell Beckham are now leaving the building. So if you're the Vikings, the lesson here is pretty obvious. One good player per draft ain't gonna cut it. moving on from those horror stories, there's actually a couple teams that have done very well. The first is one of my favorite roster building stories in the NFL today, the Kansas City Chiefs. After trading for and paying Al Smith in 2014, the Chiefs had to get very smart in free agency. Their biggest signing during the Smith era was Jeremy Maclin, which is pretty modest. Otherwise, Kansas City dove into the draft and pulled out six valuable contributors in 4 years, including Marcus Peters, Kareem Hunt, and Tyreek Hill. Their drafts weren't very deep, but those studs powered them to the third best record in the NFL and three playoff appearances in the last 4 years. Kansas City is the bottom line example for how well Minnesota needs to draft if they want to continue to contend. The next team comes with a bit of an asterisk, to the point where I almost didn't include them in this podcast. It's Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, the clear issue here is that Roethlisberger isn't just an average quarterback. He's in the elite franchise tier. He's got a career completion of 64% and 7.9 yards per attempt. But I included him because Kirk Cousins compares favorably to those numbers. Kirk just hasn't done it for as long as Big Ben has. Now, we know that Pittsburgh has had way more success than Kansas City. They've had the second best record in the NFL since Roethlisberger's second extension in 2011. They have four consecutive playoff appearances and no seasons worse than 8-8 in that span. And again, their draft history is chock full of studly athletes. Cam Hayward, Le'Veon Bell, Bud Dupree, Juju Smith-Schuster, just to name a few. And guess what? Pittsburgh holds on to these guys. Picks from 6 years ago, like David DeCastro and Marcus Gilbert, still start for them. The Steelers prioritize re-signings over free agent signings. I mean, look at what Pittsburgh did in free agency this year. They signed Morgan Barnett for $5 million per year and a backup inside linebacker. That's it. Pittsburgh is a stellar example of what happens when you keep the guys you develop. The sky is the limit. We have one final team to cover, and it's a big surprise. I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Don't unplug your headphones, this isn't a joke. From 2013 to 2016, Dallas drafted exceptionally well. They solidified the offensive line with Travis Frederick and Zach Martin. They brought in playmakers like Ezekiel Elliott, and they got some legit defenders like DeMarcus Lawrence. This all went down while Dallas was paying Tony Romo up to $20 million. Overall, the Cowboys drafted 9 quality players in 4 years. That's a higher hit rate than any other team on this list. So what's the matter with Dallas? They haven't seen the same success that Kansas City and Pittsburgh have, so why are they number one? We need to realize that Tony Romo's health played a huge factor in holding the Cowboys back. Dallas's only losing season in the last 7 occurred when Romo missed 12 games. That year, 2015, the team went 3-1 with Romo and 1-11 without him. If Romo is healthy, you could argue that Dallas is just as good as KC or Pittsburgh because of their drafting. So Dallas has taught us that Kirk needs to stay healthy. The other takeaways? Kansas City taught us that Minnesota must consistently hit on 1-2 draft picks per year. This is now a draft-first team, but that doesn't mean they need to be adding 4 good rookies per year. Finally, Pittsburgh taught us the Vikings must hold on to as many of their drafted assets as possible. Prioritize re-signing guys like Anthony Barr and Stephon Diggs over free agents. Now here's the best part. Kirk Cousins needs to stay healthy, and he's been healthy thus far in his career. Kirk hasn't missed a start in 3 years despite taking some big hits at times in Washington. He's got a track record of durability that fits the part. The Vikings have to hit on 2 picks per year. They've done exactly that. By this same metric, Minnesota hit on 11 picks over the last 6 years. If they can keep drafting at that rate, we should expect them to be a long-term contender. And again, the Vikings have to keep their drafted players. It's all in front of them. Rick Spielman has been excellent in giving second contracts to all of our drafted contributors, from Kyle Rudolph to Xavier Rhodes. Everything the Vikings need to do to work this going forward are things that they've been great at doing in the past. The arrow is pointing north for the Minnesota Vikings, as we gain steam towards the 2018 NFL Draft. Thanks for listening, guys. Time to shut it down.